Loving Father, what a privilege it is to be here this morning. What a privilege to be a son of yours and to be able to come amongst brothers and sisters, Lord, and speak openly on your behalf. I just pray this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit fill this sanctuary, that each one of us might be drawn closer in our relationship to Jesus. Help us in all things of life, Lord, that we might be an example for you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for all the love that you bestowed upon each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Good morning. I think it's been about a year since I've been here. Annual anniversary. I want to start by asking, has anybody ever made a commitment that you were sorry for shortly thereafter? I'm sure you have. You know, we have quite a few converts in the last few weeks, maybe months. New people. Babes in Christ, if you will. Well, I'd like to share a story with you of a commitment I made a long time ago. I was living in Louisiana, and I had an urge to go into service. And I knew where I would choose to go would be California, thinking all California is Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Movie stars. Good times. Fun. And so I joined the Navy. Went to New Orleans. I think the first test I took, I actually think I flunked. And they were so desperate, they took me anyhow. So then after a while, they swore us in, loaded us on the bus, took us to the airport, flew to San Diego. And I remember descending down on San Diego, all the lights, and they were beautiful, beautiful. And I couldn't wait to get on that ground and get into that town and sow my oats. Yeah. I was all dressed for the occasion, too. I was all spiffed up. I was going to really make the best of it. The only thing, when the plane hit the ground and we got off, they had a bus waiting for us. And they loaded us up like cattle. They went through town and said, get a good look at San Diego because you won't see this for a long time. And on we went to the base. By the time we got bedded down, it was like 3 in the morning. And I'll never forget this. I was so tired, so beat. I hadn't done nothing, just a trip, maybe the tension about me leaving my home. But at 5 o'clock in the morning, all this noise, throwing you out of bed, get up. And I'm like, everybody's staring around here, hollering out, fall out on the grinder, fall out on the grinder. We're looking at each other. What's a grinder? And nobody don't know. We all new recruits. And they were just rude. And I said to the guy next to me, I said, don't these people sleep? I said, didn't we just go to bed about 2 hours ago? He said, I don't think they care. But he said, we better find that grinder, wherever that is, and get out there. Well, come to find out, it was the parking lot. So we went out there. Lined us up. We was all confused. It was a bunch of young guys. I was 17 years old. Can you imagine that, 17 years old? Some people don't leave home till they're 30. I was 17. I was out. Scared to death then. I thought I was a bad guy. But I started to get worried. But anyhow, this They call them CCs, company commanders. Came out, we was all lined up. And he said, I'm going to give you two options this morning. He said, you see that junk y'all are wearing? And I looked down at my clothes. I know he hasn't looked at me, because, I mean, I'm fit to kill. I'll never forget what I was wearing. I had this little stingy brim on. You know what a stingy brim is? I bet you don't. It's a little dress hat with a little small brim. Some of you got the big white fedoras. Well, this was a little stingy brim they had. That was a style back then. I'm starting from my head down to my toe, because I'll never forget this. And as I went down from the head, I had a nice knitted red bandolon sweater. Button down, last two buttons open. It's real cool, you know. That was the thing. I had a white jacket, nice sporty jacket. It was kind of like a soft, little squares, very unnoticeable unless you got clothes, but it was trimmed in black, real sharp. And then I had a pair of plaid pants. Yes, brother. I was on it, but it wasn't that kind of plaid that fights with everything. Very neutral. Kind of like charcoal gray. Nice. You get to the end of them pants, I had some nice red socks to match that nice red bandolon. And below that, pair of blue and gold shoes. Brocade. I'll never forget that. My daddy bought them shoes for me at Acme's. But anyhow, they stood out there, and I'm looking at this, and I said to me, this guy's calling this junk? He said, I think he's talking especially about your outfit. So he said, well, the first option is take it off. We'll provide you with a box. You can put an address on it. We'll ship it. I don't care. We don't care where it goes. Your mom or your daddy, we don't care. Send it to your girlfriend, but it's got to go. The other option is leave it there in a pile and we'll burn it. That's when I knew I made a big mistake in this commitment I made. But after all that, they still expected me to be loyal to them. He made it very clear. We own you. United States government owns you. From here on out, I will be your mama. I will be your daddy. I will be your girlfriend. And if there's anything else, I'll be that too. Brothers, I was too grown to start crying, but I knew, oh, how does one get out of this mess? Stuck it out 4 years. But that commitment led me to another commitment that wasn't like the first one. And that second commitment was Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. So that first commitment wasn't that bad because of the results. But when I met Jesus and I committed to Jesus, sure, I came to Jesus with all kinds of junk, new junk. But Jesus had a robe of righteousness to wrap around me. And within that robe of righteousness, he had a divine nature to put into me. And the Holy Spirit, brother, the third person of the Godhead, was given to me. Sins were forgiven. And he promised to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But he expected my loyalty too. He expected my loyalty. But it was going to be a different journey. And for the new believers, whatever happens, don't worry. Stick with the Lord. He will get you through it. He will get you through it. When it's all said and done, brothers, you will look back and you will say, it was good. And it gets better. But you know what? You don't know what good is until you had it bad. Right? What are you going to compare it to? I can't tell you to stop boozing if I don't know what boozing is all about. I can't tell you to quit smoking if I have not tried it. Can I tell you to stop dope? No. They'll say, have you tried it? How do you know it's not good? Some things you don't have to try, brother. You just know they're not good. I don't need to try everything and I know it's not good. But a lot of times when I speak to someone, they can't pull that on me. Because I always tell them, hey, brother, I've been there, done that. Don't work as good as what I'm trying now. Anyhow, a few weeks back, Jerry Fessler, he's the head elder, and he sends the elders a meditation every Monday morning. Just a little, like a little devotion that we can look at. And I hope all the elders read that and get something out of it. Oh, another thing is I was going to say before I got started was about Sabbath school. You heard one time someone said, I don't even like Sabbath school. Well, I love it. I love it. And if you haven't been going to Sabbath school, come and join a Sabbath school class here and start attending. You know, we're brothers and sisters, you know, family. I'm going to put a plug. I have a Sabbath school class right here. We was packed this morning, so you know what, brothers, just join a Sabbath school class, you know, fellowship with the Lord and your brothers and sisters. But anyhow, Jerry Fessler sent out this one meditation, and I thought, you know what, I'd like to expand on what he said, go a little bit deeper, and so that's what my topic is about, the forgotten God, because that's kind of what the topic is about. But anyhow, John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Did you hear those words? The Holy Spirit, God himself, don't only dwell with you, but he dwells in you. Do you realize how much power you possess if God dwells in you and me? Who has more power than God? Surely not Satan. Nobody. We have that power at our disposal for us to use. John 16:7 adds, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glory God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. We belong to God. When we came to Jesus, when he said, I want all of you, that's what he meant. He takes possession of all of us. I'm reminded of a king. You might have heard of him. King Saul, first king over the Israelites. Wasn't really God's choice, but the people wanted him. It's amazing how God works, huh? Sometimes he gives us things that we really shouldn't even have, but we're so determined to have it, he allows us to have it. But if you remember the story, King Saul became king, and God blessed him with his spirit. King Saul had the spirit of God. So Saul could have been anything he wanted to be. God endeavored him to be whatever he wanted to be. All he had to do was make the right choices. But the power of God was upon him. if he made the right choices. Well, if you know the story about King Saul, he made a few mistakes. But one mistake he made was when God told him to go out and destroy the Amalekites. That might have been a hard thing for him to do, but he said destroy every one. They were God's enemy. He's going to remove them. He said not only all the people, but all the animals, everything. Take nothing. Here's a man, highly privileged of God, king, ruler over God's people. What a responsibility. We fringe are just going out and passing some leaflets for Jesus sometimes, you know. We're tired. But King Saul, he's over all of God's people. He goes out. What does he do? Does he fully obey God's command? Mm-mm. He might have wanted to do God's will. He might have wanted to do it God's way. But King Saul also had his own way. God don't need to compromise with our ways. If God says something, take it for what he says. Just follow it. If you know him, you know you can trust him. He's all powerful. It's all wisdom. So if he says something, you ought to take him at his word. Well, King Saul didn't do that. He did destroy the people. But there was one he didn't destroy. You remember who that was? That was the other king. And what did he do with him? Brought him back. Why do you think he brought him back? He wanted a trophy. Wanted a trophy. Look what I've done, you know. Brought the other king back. He could parade. That's what the kings like to do at that time. Brought him back, parade him around. And another thing, they didn't destroy all the spoils, like the goats, the rams, and all this. They brought the nice stuff. The nice stuff. Brought them back to the camp. Now, there was a prophet named Samuel. Samuel was very concerned about Saul. And Saul had a chance to make things right. You know, sometimes, you remember Judas? Betrayed Jesus. He could have made things right. But he couldn't bring himself to humble himself, confess his wrong, and ask for forgiveness and get back on the right track. He wasn't like Peter. He stuck to his way. And you know what happened to Judas, huh? Not a good ending. Not a good ending. So here Samuel comes to King Saul. Ask him what's going on. Oh, as far as King Saul was concerned, he took care of business. And then Samuel notices these sheep and these cows making their little noise. He said, well, what's that going on? Oh, that. Saul, it wasn't bad enough that he disobeyed God, but he started to lie on top of his disobedience. Started to cover up. Well, you know, the people wanted to bring these animals. Hey, they're this all nice specimens. Well, they wanted to use a sacrifice to God. Sounds like a good idea, huh? We want to sacrifice to God. Choice, primo, prime cut. Give to God. You can't ask for any better. The only thing is, that saved them from sacrificing their own. It wasn't theirs to begin with. So you see the logic? They were using it so they wouldn't have to give of themselves. And so many times we as Christians the same way. Do we change? We don't change. Human nature don't change. But to make the story short here, the Spirit of God was taken away from Saul. And once the Spirit goes, brother, where are you at? What future do you have if the Spirit of God is withdrawn from you? You think you're going to all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do God right. I'm going to do my fellow brothers and sisters right. No, no. The only way we're going to do anything right, if we have a power outside of ourselves dwelling in us, enabling us and empower us to do what's right. We of ourselves will do nothing right and nothing good. Even Jesus said, me of myself, I can do nothing. What did Jesus use to accomplish what he did? Whose power? The Father. He was in constant communion with the Father. He relied on the Father. He was trying to teach you and I how to live. You're tired of failures and you want victories? Rely on the power of God. That's how it happens. But we can try all we want. In ourselves, brother, we can do nothing. But let's not forget the God that dwells in you, the forgotten God. How many people think about the Holy Spirit? We hear a lot about Jesus, which he's our Savior, huh? We hear God the Father. Not a whole lot about God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When God made a covenant with you and I through Jesus, when we got baptized, everything that God possesses is at our disposal for us to use. And everything we have should be for God to use. Make sense? That's the covenant. That's the agreement. We're God's by the blood of Jesus. And God is ours through Jesus, our Savior. But Jesus is not only our Savior, brother and sister. He's our Lord and Master. He gives the rules. And if we follow them, guess what? Life will be pleasant. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sugarcoat this where you won't have problems. There's not one of them in this room can tell me they go through life without problems. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. My problems are so much smoother and so much bearable when Jesus is right there with me. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, huh? If you haven't experienced, try it. But anyhow, in this this book, it's entitled A Forgotten God by Francis Chan. He asked a few probing questions about how we think about the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God in our lives. And one of the first questions I'd like to pose to you is it possible to get enough or even too much God? Is there a point when a person can be satisfied with the amount of intimacy, knowledge, and power of God he or she experiences, and doesn't every encounter with God only cause us to thirst for him more? Can you ever have too much of God? Have you ever heard, or maybe let me ask you this, have you ever been called a fanatic? I've heard that word. Do I look like a fanatic to you? I don't even know what they look like. But I'm going to tell you one thing, I don't like them. I don't like a fanatic, so I'm sure I'm not one. Because I don't want to hate myself. But you know what, if I have to be a fanatic, I want it to be with Jesus. I want to be fanatic about Jesus. If there's anything that I'm going to go overboard on, I want it to be Jesus. What about you? Have you ever come into a crowd of people and they see you coming? Ooh. Oh, don't get this guy started, please. You have, huh? Standing up for Jesus, huh? I was talking to a guy one time, and he said to me, he said, are you a preacher? I said, no, but I said, I can preach. Oh, he said, no. He said, don't start. But brothers and sisters, we have to be on fire for Jesus. There's a way. There's a way to do it, though. We can't do it where we push people. But if the Holy Spirit is leading our lives and he is guiding us, we won't be like that. We'll be well balanced. We'll be well balanced. First of all, get them to like you. Become their friends. And let them know that they can trust you. You know, you'll be able to talk about Jesus and everything spiritual. My favorite topic is spiritual things, brother. I'm not going to lie to you this morning. If you ever want to talk to me and get into some long, heavy conversation, just bring up spiritual things. We will have a talk. You better have a good pair of ears. Because I don't get tired of it. No, because I know what the Lord has done for me, brother. You know, I was tired of failures. Tired of failures. I said, I need some victories in my life. I'm not getting them alone. I thought I was strong. Not strong. I'm weak. I found where my strength was. It was through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Once you allow that to happen, you'll never be the same. Never be the same. And through your experiences, brother and sister, people will listen to you. Another thing, second question. When you get outside the church's walls and intersect with believers and non-believers in the same sphere, can you tell a difference? Can you tell a real difference? When you associate with other people, you're a Christian, and I don't care if they're Christians, if they're non-believers, is there a difference? Can they see a difference in you? Do they see something different about you? If Jesus has touched your life, they should see something different in you. Shouldn't they? I would think. But sometimes, you know, we want to be like the good old boys. You know, sometimes too on the Sabbath, we have a hard time keeping the conversation where it should be, huh? We get off tangent. We get into all kinds of stuff. You know, we're family. We're just having a good time. And we love this old potluck or this eating that we're doing at home, you know, and we're just swapping stories. And sometimes we get carried away. Huh? We get carried away. Get into all kinds of stuff. Get into politics. Ball games. Well, I don't get into ball games because I don't go for it, but I'm dumb when it comes to that. It's not nothing that I've ever acquired a taste for, you know. But you know, our conversation should tell people, our behavior should tell people we're different. We know the Lord. I can remember when I was a sailor. That conversation, brothers and sisters, unbelievable. When I went home, even my sibling said he has a different mouth. Had a sailor's mouth. You know, that was one of my big struggles when I came to the Lord. How am I going to overcome that tongue, that vicious little tongue? You know, using them slang words and all that stuff, you know, very hard to control when it's so embedded in you. How do you get mad and not curse? trying things, you know. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Little by little, you notice things are falling away. Falling away. You're learning new words. People start to recognize there's a difference in this man. Difference in this man. He don't talk like he used to talk. Me and my wife, when we first joined the church, had a lot of friends outside. They'd invite us over to their parties. And you don't want to tell them no, because you want them to know we're still friends, right? So we go. But then we get there and we felt like a fifth wheel on a wagon. We look at each other, because all of a sudden, you know, you ever been around? Everybody in the room is drunk. How you feel? Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe you never have. Well, nothing's making sense. And you stand around, you look at each other. What are you looking at me for? I'm looking for an exit. That's what I'm looking for. Then your wife says to you, well, you know what? You used to be just like him. Wait a minute. It's not starting the blame game here. I'm the one that asked for the exit. But you don't have nothing in common. But you notice, they notice that too about you. It's not only you're not comfortable, but they're not comfortable around you either. Where is your loyalty going to lay? Who are you going to please? God or man? Sometimes, brother, we lose friends in the process of loving the Lord. Can't help it. We lose family because we love the Lord and we want to do what's right. Amen. It don't mean you stop loving them. You just can't participate in some of the things that they do no more. For fear that it will hinder your relationship with Jesus. Also, is the Spirit of God working you? Because when you're committed to Jesus, brother, the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit, relentless. He will not let you rest. He will not let you rest. Because his job is to save us. That's what he's there for. He'll show us every wrong thing. He'll reprove us. And he wants to lead us in truth. When we're going somewhere where he don't want to go, you'll feel a tug on your heart. You will hear a voice. No, brother, don't do that. You know, you might not hear that voice audible, but you will feel that in your mind. Spirit is talking to you. And some of the things he wants you to do that you're not doing. Right? But we all battle. There's a battle going on for each one of our souls between Satan and Jesus. And it's that battle, the outcome of that battle is going to be because of our choices, what we choose. Because both parties are fighting for your soul. Yes. But the difference is one of them cares about you and the other one don't. That's the difference. So when you make your choice, you think about that. Which one cares about me the most? Well, one don't care about you at all. So you don't even have to give that no thought. He's out for one reason. That's to destroy you and I. And if our choices that we make are the wrong choices, eventually, if it continues, he will get you. He will get you. Don't reject the voice of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, should there be a huge difference between us and other people that don't believe in God? Sometimes, you know, I feel even bad when I visit my family. I pity because I see. And what can you do? You've tried everything. For years now, I've told my family, about Jesus, to give up this foolishness and just give their heart to the Lord. And especially when you have that don't want to, they don't want to even hear of it. It's almost like you're insane. Like you're insane. Not much more you can do. There's only one way. Only one. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life, huh? No man comes to the Father except through me. My law is truth. My word is truth. And they wouldn't open that word no matter what. And we, brothers, as Christians, as children of God, we're in danger of the same thing if we don't study the word of God. This is how God talks to you and I. This is how God educates us to the right moves. Don't be afraid to forsake things. It might seem that it's not going to pan out, but if you follow the will of God, it will pan out. It will pan out. And you will be happy and thankful for that. The last question is, when was the last time I undeniably saw the Spirit at work in or around me? What about you? When was the last time you saw the Spirit working in or around you? Do you feel the Spirit? Do we have to be doing mighty things for the Spirit to be working? Sometimes, you know, when you think about it, you say, you know what? It's a battle just to get my family there. I'll be thankful if I get all my family members into the kingdom, huh? How grateful. Every parent should be concerned about their loved ones. I know every mother and every father, if they see their child slipping, you get very worried, don't you? You get very worried. Forget about the financial stress. But if your child starts slipping away from Jesus, has nothing to do with finances there. That's a life and death issue. That's what we should be concerned about. And you know what? We have the power to do better every day because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And yet sometimes we just fail. Is it on the part of God that we're not accomplishing what he wants us to? Whose fault is it? Ours. Do we fully trust God in everything? Do we believe God can deliver everything he's promised? You know, every promise that God made to us is conditional. Yeah. Every promise of God is conditional. God says, I will do that if you do this. And when we fulfill the conditions, brother, the promise is for sure. We might not be faithful in all things, but God is faithful in all things. And never changes. Our whole society, wicked, terrible as it has become, you don't think it can get any worse without self-destruction? Look at the news. I'm afraid to turn it on. Turn that off. Turn it off. But all the wicked, as well as the righteous, are under the general grace of God. That's why they're able to continue like they do. But one of these days, it will come to an end. But all these people are not under the saving grace of God. Only those that come to Jesus and acknowledge him as their Savior and their Lord and Master. But God, when he saved you and I, he didn't just save us to be in a vacuum or to walk around dragging. Look at me. I can't do nothing. God wants you to be a failure? No. No, brother. God is on your side. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to be highly educated. But you don't need to crawl either. Why crawl when you have the ability to fly? Huh? Why look at the earth from in the dust like the snake when you can hover over the whole earth, fly in the power of Jesus Christ? But God has made it possible. The only thing with you and I, what we have to do, we have to sow to the spirit and not to the flesh. Because every time we feed the flesh, the stronger it gets, the more problems we get into. But when we sow to the spirit, when we feed the divine nature, we strengthen it. And it becomes the dominant nature. Because don't forget, we got a human nature that will dwell with us till Jesus comes. And that's the battle. The battle is not outside, brothers and sisters, it's inside. Between the two natures. The divine nature of Jesus given to us at baptism and the spirit of God. Battling with another nature. A human nature that's trying to kill you off. I like to think that we as children of God, if we set our will to obey God, we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not us, but God in us. He created us, brothers, for works of righteousness. And we're involved in that when we surrender ourselves. The world will know. Sometimes we don't have to speak a whole lot to get people to want to follow Jesus. They look at your peaceful life, your life of harmony, your life of self-control, and they desire to have that. And they might ask you, brother, what makes you like this? That's when you say, Jesus Christ. Very simple. Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving Father, again, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can rely on power outside of ourselves. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that each one of us will have a greater desire to want to do your will. Help us, Lord, not to rely on self, but to lean onto Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving us the power that you have, that it will enable us and empower us to do thy will. Bless each one here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.